Welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Here's a message entitled, The Point of All of This.
Have you ever been involved in something and all of a sudden you ask yourself, what in the world is the point of all of this? What's the point of all this dirty laundry? I heard a preacher's wife. She said, I know it's good. You serve the Lord, you go to church and take all these kids to youth camp. Sometimes I wonder, what in the world is the point of all this? Dirty clothes, dirty house, you have to clean up. When you clean up, guess what? It gets dirty again. What is the point of all this? You think about all that's going on in our world today, and even in many churches, you cannot help but ask yourself, what is the point of all of this? Romans chapter 10, there's several key words that stand out to us and will give us the point of all of this. Words like salvation, righteousness, faith, and people, humanity, mankind. What is the point of all this? Paul starts in Romans chapter 10, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul had a desire in his heart for his kinsfolk, for Israel, people that he came from, to be saved. I've heard teaching that said you shouldn't even pray for the lost. I'm thinking, well, as quick as I heard it, the Holy Spirit brought this verse to my mind. Paul prayed that Israel would be saved, and the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. A good prayer to pray is for somebody to be saved. Whoever these preachers are that say that you shouldn't pray that anybody be saved, be sure don't send them no money. I'm not saying send it to me, but if I was making the choice, I know which one I'd send it to. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Salvation is the point of all this. It might look like our world is hopeless and helpless, but as long as salvation is offered, there's a point to all this.
Amen.
Salvation is what this world needs more than anything else.
Amen.
To be saved, and we call it different things, born again, in the kingdom of God, having the Holy Spirit, Jesus lives in your heart, but it means the same thing, you're saved.
Amen.
And praise God, it feels so much better to be saved than it is to be lost.
Amen.
Been on both sides of the fence and know what it's all about. And Paul desired, he even said, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my fellow people, my countrymen, my kinsfolk, Israel. Of course, Paul couldn't substitute in that way for them, but that's just the way he felt in his heart. He had a burden for their salvation. He wanted them to be saved. When the church loses her burden for lost souls, all you've got is like a spiritual country club. You got a social media thing, and you got activities and hustle bustle, but there's no real point of it because you've lost the point when we don't care about lost souls anymore. And we don't want people to be saved. And we never say we don't want people to be saved. But we lose the fervor. We don't pray about people being saved anymore. Paul said, I want them to be saved. And he spent his time, his energy, his entire ministry to try to reach people for Jesus Christ. He tried to reach the Gentiles. He tried to reach the Jews. He tried to reach the Romans. He tried to reach everybody for Jesus Christ. And he did what he could. He did all that he could, writing 14 books of the New Testament, preaching and teaching everywhere he went. Even when he was in the pulpit, when he wasn't in the pulpit, he still talked about Jesus and he lived the life of Jesus before people.
Amen.
A lot of times the biggest thing we can do is not how loud we preach, but it's how well we live. Living right before people will preach a bigger sermon sometimes than we can preach out in the clergy house. We can preach by the way that we live. He said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They had religion. They didn't need any more religion. They had a whole truckload of religion. They didn't need any more Judaism. They had all that. But it wasn't according to knowledge. It wasn't according to truth. They had a zeal of God. They thought that they had God in a bag. They thought they had what it took to please God. But it wasn't according to knowledge. It wasn't according to God's word. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. In that verse, the word righteousness is mentioned some three times. Righteousness means being right. And it doesn't mean being right like, boy, I'm glad I'm right. I'm right and you're wrong. That's not what it means. Because the scripture tells us there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who does good, no, not one. None of us are righteous in ourselves. None of us are good in ourselves. The Bible said in Psalm 54, God looked down from heaven on the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. He said, they're all gone out of the way. Everyone is turned to their own way. There's none who is righteous. There's none that does good. No, not one. Righteousness then doesn't mean being right in yourself. Righteousness means being right with God. That's what righteousness is all about.
Amen.
Israel tried to be right in their religion. And they tried to be right in their pharisaical religion. They tried to be right in the law, and there's nothing wrong with the law in itself. But what was wrong with the law, they thought that because they were doing their own way, keeping the law and having their own way put to it, they thought they were pleasing God, and all the while they were going against Christ. They said they loved God, but they hated Jesus. And there's no way that you can love God if you hate Jesus.
Amen.
They were going against God. They tried to establish their own righteousness. And in so doing, they were not submitting themselves unto the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. When you're trying to keep a law, and you're trying to keep a bunch of do's and don'ts, and you have this list either on paper or in your mind, you're trying to do this, and you're trying to please God, you're trying to impress God, or you're trying to get the favor of God, and you're trying to have this righteousness, the end of righteousness, the end of the law for righteousness is Jesus Christ. When you believe on Jesus Christ, that puts an end to your self-righteousness. Because you have believed in Christ as your Savior and made Him your Lord. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Your believing puts you into the righteousness of Christ. When Abraham believed God, God said, I will give you a son. God said, your seed will be like the stars of the sky. Come out here, Abraham. Look up and see those stars. Tell me how many they are. And there was no way he could. God said, that's the way your seed will be. Abraham took a deep breath, and he believed God.
Amen.
Against hope, against the impossible, against all odds. You've heard that expression, against all odds.
Yes.
Abraham believed God against all odds. And God imputed it to him for righteousness. That is, God stamped righteousness to Abraham's account. And Abraham was a saved man in the Old Testament. God imputed righteousness to him. And that's the way that we receive righteousness. It's not by our good works. It's not by how we look or how much money we have. It's because we believe God. God makes it so simple that it's easier to believe God than it is to doubt your own salvation.
Amen.
It is easier to believe God. He makes it so simple that it's easier to believe than it is to doubt.
Amen.
Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. That's what the old covenant, the law, was all about. As long as you're doing, you are living. But the moment you quit doing, you quit living as far as the law is concerned. The man who does those things will live by them. But it's a miserable life to have to do and do and do. And the moment you stump your toe, James said, you're guilty of all of it.
That's right.
If you offend in one point, you might as well throw the whole thing away. And nobody can keep it. Peter, the apostle, said, why do we put a yoke on the neck of our Gentile believers? A yoke that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. They couldn't keep it. The prophets couldn't keep it. Paul said he kept it best he could, but nobody could keep it perfectly except Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law for us. We don't have to worry about keeping the law. Because we're in the grace of God, the law is fulfilled in us who are in Christ Jesus. The one who does those things in the law will live by them. That's what the righteousness of the law is. As long as you're living, as long as you're doing, you're living. But the moment you quit doing, the moment you mess up, you quit living as far as the law is concerned. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. The righteousness of faith says it like this. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend up into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? In other words, if somebody could just go up there and get Jesus and bring him down here and let him talk to us like he did on the shore of Galilee and the Sea of Galilee, everything would be all right. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to worry about going to heaven and bringing Christ down, or going into the deep and bringing Christ up. That is the righteousness of faith, says it. You don't have to do that. But what saith it? What does the righteousness of faith say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You don't have to worry about going into heaven and getting it. You don't have to worry about going on top of Mount Sinai like Moses did to get it. You don't have to worry about going down into earth to try to scoop it up. All you have to do, he said, the word of faith that we preach is in your heart and in your mouth. If it's in your heart, all you got to do is believe it. If it's in your mouth, all you got to do is confess it. That's what it is, the word of salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Just as simple as it can be. He took all the hard work, all the complication out of it. All you've got to do is believe the word in your heart and confess it with your mouth. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's not as complicated, even as many ministers and churches make it, because Jesus is the way to God. He is our salvation. He is the word of truth. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. He raised him from the dead. He died on the cross for my sins, and he'll save me if I ask him. And I believe in my heart and confess it with my mouth. The scripture says that we are saved. Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. You don't have anything to be ashamed of anymore. All that shame, all that guilt, all that unrighteousness, everything is gone, taken away. One of the things that people say, I've said it, and I know you have too. One of the first things that you say when you become a Christian, it feels like 100-pound weight's been taken off of you.
Amen.
Woo! Yes, it does.
Amen.
Because your sins are gone.
Amen.
That weight of guilt and shame, disgrace, there's disgrace in sin. There's death in sin. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The scripture said if you believe on him, you don't have anything to be ashamed of anymore. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He makes no difference of whether you're red, yellow, black and white, Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter. If you call upon the Lord, he'll give you the blessing you need. He'll give you salvation and all that comes with it. He'll give you the gift of God. He is rich unto all who call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, not no limited atonement. Whosoever is an unlimited atonement.
Amen.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That means anybody, anywhere, anytime, as long as the door of grace is open. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Now, Paul is asking some questions now that is self-answerable. You don't even have to answer it out loud. But he said it's just something to think about. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? The obvious answer is they cannot. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can you believe in somebody you haven't heard about? The obvious answer is they will not. How shall they hear without a preacher? The obvious answer is they probably won't. How shall they preach except they be sent? You better not. So, as it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things. This quote from the Old Testament. Few share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may not be called to preach. Now, I believe that Scripture teaches a divine calling for ministry. If you're not supposed to be a pastor or a preacher, don't try to be one, because you'll make a mess and you'll mess up the people you're trying to mess with. So don't try to be one if you shouldn't be, but all of us are ministers of Jesus Christ in the sense that all of us are witnesses. All of us are called to spread the gospel. Amen. The Great Commission is given to everyone. Amen. It's not given to a bishop. It's not given to just a prophet or a preacher. Amen. Nobody's a preacher without the Lord, so it's all given to all of us. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. I think the ugliest part of our body may be the feet. Those old long, slanky looking things. Toenails and toe corns and everything else that goes with it. When they talk about foot washing, feet washing, washing of the saints' feet, that's an humble thing indeed. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Amen. But the feet of those who preach the gospel and spread the gospel are beautiful feet. The song said, do you have beautiful feet? Beautiful feet, do you have beautiful feet? The idea is those who preach the gospel of peace have beautiful feet. It's a gospel of peace. It's not a gospel of confusion. Amen. To hear some people talk, I don't blame them for not getting saved, because you're so confusing to them. You come up to them and all they hear is, why don't you get saved? Oh man, I don't know if to get saved or take a deep breath. Well, the gospel of peace, it's not a gospel of hate. It's not a gospel of war. Watch out for these songs that try to get us into a revolution. We need a revolution, it says. No, we don't need a revolution. We need the gospel of peace. Amen. We've already had a revolution and the British lost. We don't need a revolution. You see what a revolution does? It tears the country all to pieces. We don't need a revolution. Jesus didn't come down here to do a revolution. He didn't come down here to make war. He came to make peace. He came to save the world. Amen. Jesus didn't come to take over the world. He came to save the world. Amen. The gospel of peace is a gospel of peace. The world already has enough confusion and hate and violence. Amen. That's what happened in Noah's day. Violence was taking over the earth. And the concentration and imagination of men's hearts were evil continually. And violence. They were full of violence. God is sick of all this violence. Amen. By the way, it's not His will. Just because things happen, that doesn't mean it's God's will. Amen. We think that if God lets something happen, it's His will. It's not. Amen. God lets people go to hell if you want to go bad enough, but it's not His will.
That's right.
None of this evil that's going on is God's will. God allows it to happen. We're the ones who choose for it to happen.
That's right.
When you pick up a brick bat and bust a window out, that's not God doing that. He lets you do what you want to a certain extent. You make your own choice.
Right. Amen.
The gospel of peace is to be shared and spread abroad and bring glad tidings of good things. There's so much fake news and bad news and liberal media that wants you to think what they're saying is real true. And all the time, they feeding you a ball of yarn. Nothing in the world truth about it. The truth, the only truth, is in the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's the Word of truth. They bring glad tidings of good things. There's good news out there. Jesus is good news. He said they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? The ones who know the truth of it, those are the ones who believe it. Not everybody believes it, but thank God some people believe it.
Amen.
You're here today because you believe it. Lord, who has believed our report? Those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're the ones who believed it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come? It comes on the vehicle and wings of God's word. God's word comes strolling in, as it were, and faith is riding on its fenders. That's what it is. You got God's Rolls Royce rolling down the road. You got faith riding on the fenders. That's what it is. Faith comes by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
You can hear a lot of things that don't do you any good. It doesn't build your soul up.
Amen.
But faith will build your soul up. The word of God does. When you hear God's word, it produces faith.
Amen.
He says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Yes, that is why we need a preacher, is because we have to hear faith. And I don't care how long you've been saved. None of us can make it in a rock and an island on our own. We need encouragement. We need help. We need the encouragement of God's word.
Amen.
He said, have they not heard? Yes. Verily or truly their sound went into all the earth. The gospel has been spread. The gospel has been preached. The gospel has been taught. The gospel has been and is being sung. And it's going out into all the earth. Now we have ways to spread the gospel. There is internet, there's radio, there's satellite, all kind of ways to spread the gospel now that we didn't have before. Their words went to the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? And the question is, didn't Israel know? Hasn't Israel had a chance to be saved? Yes, they've had many chances to be saved. First, Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. What he's saying is, I want you to be saved, and since you're not listening to me, I'm going to turn to another nation. A nation who you don't even think is worthy. A nation who you call uncircumcised. A nation who you call Gentiles. And I'm going to reach out to them and they're going to be saved. And that's going to make you mad as a hornet's nest. And hopefully you'll get right with God.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about.
Amen.
By a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found of them that sought me not. When you open Isaiah chapter 65, that's what you'll find. I was found of them who sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me. He's talking about the Gentiles, those who are not a people. Peter says it in 1 Peter chapter 1. Those who are not a people are now the people of God. Those who are not saved are now saved. Those who are outcasts, the Gentiles. Ephesians said you had no hope without God in the world. But now you who are far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. Not that Israel failed, but because they failed, we had a chance to get in on the gravy. We had a chance to get in on the goodness of God. I'm going to save a people that you wouldn't even think is worthy. And the fact is, we're not worthy. He is worthy. When you don't know what you got, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And you don't know what you got, somebody else would love to have what you got.
Amen.
And I ain't just talking about your dog and your woman either. I'm just talking about they would like to have. I don't like that job. I hate that job. Somebody else would love to have it. Some of us wish we could work now. A lot of us are glad we can't, maybe. I don't know. But I was found of them that sought me not. When you have not had a chance before, now you have a chance. It's a wonderful thing. We didn't have a chance to be saved. And now, because Israel rejected God, we who are Gentiles have a chance to be right with God. I was made manifest unto those who ask not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. God said, this is what I want to say to Israel. I want to tell Israel that all day long, I have stretched out my hands to you. I have tried to speak to you. I've sent my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending, and yet you would not hear. I've stretched out my hands all the day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people." And so Paul leaves the chapter. He started off by saying, my gut-wrenching heart's prayer and desire to God is to pray that Israel would be saved. And he talks about righteousness, he talks about faith, talks about salvation. And then he ends the chapter with, the ball is in Israel's courts. The ball is in your court, Israel. What are you going to do about it? God is reaching out his hand all the day to a disobedient and gainsaying people. Moses said, you've been rebellious against the Lord since the day I knew you. He put it on him like it was, didn't he? I'm telling you, he did. He said, I've been putting up with you for 40 years in the wilderness. You've been disobedient against God. He brought them into the promised land, and what did they do? The first thing they did started going after the gods of the nations around them. When Jesus came to the world, the fullness of time, the Father sent the Son into the world. What did they do? They spit upon him, they frailed him, they killed him, they crucified him, they rejected him, and everything that God has done to Israel, they've gone against it. God still loves them. And you better love them. You don't have to love what they do, but you better love them because they're God's people. And I don't care who's president. I don't care what administration it is. When you turn against Israel, you turn against God's people, you're against God. If you're against God, God's got to be against you. He still loves you, but he can't bless you because you're against him. You can't be kicking against God and expect the blessing of God. Right. What's the point of it? The point of all this is Jesus Christ. Yeah. He is the reason. They say he's the reason for the season. He's the reason for every season. Yeah. He's the reason to get up in the morning. Yeah. It's not Folgers in your cup. It's Jesus in your heart. Amen. When you get up every morning, that's the reason. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you, Lord, that your people have come. And thank you, Lord, that people would even come to hear the word of God with eagerness and hunger in our heart to know, Lord, we don't have to be hungry because we're unsatisfied. We're hungry because we are satisfied. We want more of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that your word speaks to us. And we thank you that there's a reason. We thank you there's a point to all this. Sometimes we can't understand what it is, but the point of it all is salvation. Righteousness, faith, and people. People are worth it. Lord, you thought we were worth it. You knew we were worth it. We don't think we are sometimes, but you knew that we were worth it. Worth it so much that you loved the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe would not perish, but have everlasting life. I pray that many people would come to that realization. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message entitled, The Point of All of This. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.